Ryan Dixon and Rory Boylan host Tape to Tape, the hockey podcast by Sportsnet.
Thank you for being a part of this special moment in Winnipeg Jets history as we announce our new leadership group for this upcoming season and our captain, Blake Wheeler.
Connor's not a cheerleader. He's not jumping up and down in the locker room with pom-poms. He leads by example. You have to have different types of leaders, and Connor embraces a lot of that, and we saw it in Toronto.
With the fifth selection, Vancouver select from the London Knights, Ole Ulevi.
Gaudreau with Colburn again to Johnny Gaudreau. Scores! Beauty.
A lot of talks between my agent and Calgary, and my agent does an extremely good job with handling it. You know, hopefully, me and Sean get done here pretty soon.
And we're able to conclude an agreement with Sean Monahan, a 7-year agreement.
I can't help about the shape I'm in. I can't sing. I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. But don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to.
Welcome to Tape, T2T. I'm Ryan Dixon. I'm a writer for Sportsnet Magazine and Sportsnet.ca. Sitting to my left with his metaphorical cowboy hat on, ready to preview some Western Canadian teams. It's NHL senior digital producer for the NHL. It's Rory Boylan. How you doing?
Great. We're here to talk about how this is the year the Edmonton Oilers make the playoffs, right?
And, of course, I referenced a pretend cowboy hat. You're actually wearing your Red Sox hat. We could probably go 20 minutes deep on the baseball playoffs, but we'll save that for a different podcast. Yes, this is the Tape to Tape podcast that you can find on sportsnet.ca. You can subscribe to in iTunes. Find Rory on Twitter at Rory Boylan, myself at Dixon on Sports. We are going to dive deep on Canada's Western Conference clubs today, sort of part of a three-part tape-to-tape NHL preview. We'll do the Western teams today, the Eastern teams, and the NHL in general, complete with some predictions next week. So yeah, Rory, let's dive right into it. You referenced it right off the top, so we might as well get into the Edmonton Oilers. We're going to talk about Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, Vancouver today. This is the year. This is the year. This is the year. I mean, it has more weight to it now than it ever has, right? But is this the year? Because It probably isn't, right?
I won't get fooled again. I've fallen.
Let's clarify. When we say is this the year, we mean could they possibly make the playoffs? Not. Yeah. Are they actually going to go to the Western Conference Final?
Yeah. I mean, I do have a hard time thinking they're going to finish last in the league again. But will they make the playoffs? The West is just so unbelievably tough, right?
Like, it is. You're not catching any breaks.
Yeah, and having McDavid is obviously nice. Do you think he could win the Art Ross Trophy this year?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think the only debate is, should he be the favorite? Could he win it? Yeah, I mean, I think his points per game through 40 games and change were basically as good as anyone last year. So yes, absolutely, I could see a world where he wins it.
I'd like to see in fantasy drafts, when you're redraft leagues, where you start fresh, where does Connor McDavid go? Absolutely. Does he go number one? Does he go ahead of Crosby? Crosby.
I would take Crosby too, because he really came to life under Sullivan.
But he's 19 and he's in this conversation. Yeah. Connor McDavid is probably going to be a top three pick in any of these fantasy drafts. But here we are again talking about the Edmonton Oilers and their young offensive talent when that's all we ever talk about with the Oilers because that's all they have. But now, do they have the defense? Is Adam Larson, I mean, he's not the number one defense. He's not going to carry you, but he's another piece to add. And then you have Cam Talbot in goal, who has definitely looked the part of a number one goalie. We just haven't seen enough of him yet to really feel confident about that. But there are definitely reasons to be optimistic. But again, this happens every year with the Oilers.
You mentioned Talbot. This is a good time to jump in and tell people as well. We're going to have Andrew Berkshire on from Sport Logic, depending how much flair you want to say it with, to talk about his rankings. He has ranked the top 20 players by position by analytics. Kind of come up with his own little model. So Andrew's going to come on and talk about, believe it or not, Cam Talbot and the fact that he did make the goalie ranking and some of the other Oilers and Western.
He was higher than I expected too. So that's what makes it extra interesting. He was very high on that list. A lot of that reason had to do with the fact that one of the categories for for goalie rankings was difficulty. And right. being behind a weak Edmonton defense, he got a high ranking there. So again, small sample size, but he played pretty well behind those defenses.
I know Oilers fans don't want to hear it, but realistically, could this team have a year that was deemed a success and still not make the playoffs if they play a better brand of hockey start to finish and miss the playoff, you know, get 97 points but and finish just outside? You have to call that huge progress from a team that I think had 70 points last year.
I think so. And I think actually, to touch on an Eastern team, Buffalo is kind of in the same area, although in a weaker conference. I think it would be a disappointment for Buffalo to not make it, but Edmonton, there's just so much competition in that Western Conference. Look at the teams who made it last year and the teams who maybe just missed out but look really strong this year. I mean, who are you going to take out of that and replace with Edmonton, right? And that's what I have difficulty with. But a perfect season for Edmonton when they don't make the playoffs and have it still qualify as a good year would be, like you said, finishing with 97 points, just missing the playoffs. Oh, and by the way, winning the draft lottery again, because why not?
Because why not? All right, well...
Actually, we're on Facebook Live, and this is a related question to Edmonton, I suppose, maybe. from Chris Robinson, will there be any Canadian teams worse than the Canucks? Because I think Edmonton might be, and we're going to talk about this later. I don't think Vancouver is going to be as bad.
Well, let's talk about it now.
Yeah.
Let's set the scene here. Vancouver seems to be, of the four Western teams, the one that's out over here on an island where, yes, they all missed the playoffs, and to varying degrees it's been rough times, but we all are in agreement that better days are coming for Winnipeg, Calgary, and Vancouver.
Yes.
That is not necessarily a widespread opinion on Vancouver. What are your thoughts on the Canucks?
Yeah, so I need to preface this. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. They're not that kind of a team, but I don't think that they are a lock to finish last either. And if I had to pick a Canadian team that might finish worse than Vancouver, it would certainly be Edmonton, because it's not going to be Winnipeg. It's not going to be
Calgary.
Yeah. But with Vancouver, I look at them and I see that top line with the Sedins and Louis Erickson, and I think that could be a deadly, deadly first line. After that, they have some good two-way forwards who are a little young, and some things definitely need to fall their way to move up in the standings, but their defense isn't bad. They don't have a lead guy, but they have some good parts there. We've been getting some excellent reviews out of camp from the Ben Hutton, Eric Goodbranson pairing. And then you have Ryan Miller in net and Jacob Markstrom. I'm not believing in Jacob Markstrom. I followed the Florida Panthers for so long, and he's still the goalie of the future. But you have Ryan Miller in net, and we'll talk to Berkshire about his rankings, but Ryan Miller ranks in, fairly high on the top 20 goalie rankings. So you have all that, and I see pieces, and I see reasons why they could finish in that mushy middle where they're not really touching the playoffs, but they're not at the bottom. So, and again, I wouldn't be surprised if Edmonton does finish lower than that. I see the potential there.
So just to lay it out, things are horrible in Vancouver because the mushy middle is the last place on planet Earth you want to be. But we've touched on it before. Even if management decided to take, let's just call it the Leaf approach, how can you do that when you have the Sedins who are not going anywhere without each other? I mean, even if you wanted to tackle the somewhat tricky issue of trading a franchise face, you've got two guys. And I kind of think to some degree Vancouver has just said, these guys are on the books for two more years. Mm-hmm. Man, as long as they're around, we're going to be a decent-ish team.
Yep.
So let's, I guess, go and sign a guy like Louis Erickson who doesn't necessarily seem to fit with, I think when it happened, we discussed, I don't see how that's a fit from either side, personally.
Exactly. I didn't get it from Louis Erickson's side.
But he's just going, well, I want to play with these guys that I know very well and a comfortable life.
Sure.
Fair enough.
You're not going to win cups in that situation.
I mean, if you're a fan of a team, I mean, we can argue forever about, well, is it automatic that the, rebuild, pain, take your medicine, draft high works? I guess not unconditionally. We did just talk about Edmonton, but I think what is tough to debate is if you've got a strong management team in place that's committed, it's still your best option. And yes, living in the middle is real tough. If you're a fan of any team, you either want them to be fantastic or awful, so you don't perpetually get stuck in the middle.
Exactly. And at least now you have a lottery system where maybe you can move up, although
Vancouver's case,
that didn't work out this year. But I think you're right, and I think it's easy to just say, well, we'll just go into a rebuild and we'll take a couple of years and then we'll be back. It doesn't always work that way. It has failed over and over and over again for a number of teams, and again, I will always use the Florida Panthers as an example here, because they were rebuilding for like 20 years before it's finally paying off, but they went through a number of drafts where...
Sure, but even now, they are going the right way, because they got Ekblad first overall and Barkov second overall.
Now they are, but what I'm saying is they've been through a number of drafts before now where they were picking like Nathan Horton, and it never... There were a number of failed draft picks.
That's where competent management
exactly
comes in.
And then you have to wonder, is Jim Benning...
Yeah, he had a great reputation, right?
But there's been some questionable moves.
Absolutely. I think we all thought he was going there to do something different.
Sure.
That's what we thought.
Yes.
It was like, he's going to be like, all right, let's get the rubber gloves on and do this. And all of a sudden it was like, can't remember if he signed verbatim. Maybe that was before him. But stuff like that, you know, that was very much status quo. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to move on to Winnipeg?
Yeah, I think we should jump to Winnipeg.
Okay, we have a question then. We'll start with the goalies.
Okay.
From Cam Davies asking if Connor Hellebuck is going to be the starter for the Winnipeg Jets. I think this is the year we move away from Andrei Pavelec finally for good. He is overrated, overpaid. They signed him as a free agent and paid him $3.9 million for a number of years, so you kind of had to use him, right? You're not going to... You bring a guy in, you pay him that much money. And when they brought him in, they didn't have these other options in net that were really proven. But now you have two guys in there who look like they could really make a push. And I think this is the year where Pavlik probably gets the start at the beginning of the season, but you can start moving off of him because you're not locked into a contract with him beyond this season. So, and... By the way, I think Winnipeg is my pick of these Western Canadian teams to get back into the playoffs this year. I really, really like that team. I think they were showing signs of coming on strong last year. I love Mark Scheifele and how he developed at the end of that year, and he looks like that number one center. Their defense looks good. They got to deal with Jacob Trouba now, obviously. But there's a lot to like there, and I think if they get to a point where like, well, you know, we can make a push for the playoffs... You're going to have to move away from Andrei Pavlik because I don't think he's going to be the one who gets you there. And you have two other goalies who look fully capable of playing the part behind this team.
You know, things are good when players like Kyle Connor and Nikolai Ehlers are sort of buried, you know? I don't mean buried in the lineup, but I mean aren't talked about a lot because they are. I mean, Connor absolutely destroyed the NCAA as a freshman with Michigan. Nikolai Ehlers already, he just looks like, you know, Marian Hossa 2.0. Awesome, responsible two-way player already 1 year under his belt. But yeah, I mean, you're going to be talking about Mark Scheifele and, of course, Patrick Laine. There is a lot to like there. What do you expect from Laine?
That's a tough one, isn't it? Like, I could see him scoring 60 points.
Yeah.
I could see him getting there.
You know, I've said, although I'm going to start to move off this the more I watch Austin Matthews, but I said, Matthews is the less exciting player because he's not as flashy, but he's super sturdy and over the long haul, you know, everyone in Toronto is going to be happy they picked him, whereas Laine is going to come in and score 28 goals. Maybe Laine will come in and score 28 goals. I have to say, having even watched the World Cup and some Leafs preseason, Matthews is really good too. We'll save that for another day. But yeah, Patrick Laine, I mean, if he clicks with Little or Scheifele, this guy has a shot.
Yeah, and he's got better players around him too, right?
Yes.
And that's going to help him put up better points. Whereas Matthews, it sounds like he's going to start the year on the third line. I don't know if that's actually going to be how it plays out,
but he's going to move up.
Sure. And he'd probably move up there, but he's not going to be playing, I don't think, with the same type of players that Line A is going to be. If Line A plays with Shifley, I mean, you have a potential explosive combination there. And if it takes off, Line A could have a really good season. But I'm kind of with you. I think he's got the inside track on a Calder, and
yeah,
and he could really take off in scoring this year. I love the Jets this year, I got to say.
Big, strong, fast. Like, yeah. They are a Western Conference team.
They got the number two pick last year because they got the lottery. But they're like a playoff team, and they got the number two overall pick.
I think this is out there a lot, but it's definitely reminiscent of that year Philly tanked, and then right. ended up getting Van Riemsdyk overall.
Yeah.
Could have got Patrick Kane, which is crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Jets, definitely, there's something to put your arms around there. Last Western team, you could maybe say the same thing of. I mean, Calgary really had a hard time in goal last year with Romo and who am I forgetting? Kari Romo and Berra?
Yes. You had Jonas Hiller.
Like, come on. But now they got Brian Elliott, and now they got a new coach, Glenn Gullitson, and Calgary was derided even the year it made the playoffs 2014-15 out of the blue for being a mirage, a team that gave up too many shots. Bob Hartley out, Glenn Gullitson in.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of the Flames?
So this is another team. I think if I'm picking Winnipeg as my number one most likely Canadian Western team to make it back, I think Calgary's right behind them because they got the goalie and they have an incredible defense.
Yeah. So
right?
What I like about Calgary is there's a couple guys that I think present well for either bounce back or step forward, and that would be Dougie Hamilton on defense.
Agreed.
And it would be Sam Bennett as a number two center behind Sean Monahan.
Absolutely. And you have Johnny Gaudreau that you've still got to tie up to. You don't want that to linger, right?
No, you don't. I think we're both assuming at the end of the day he's going to be a Flame for a long time.
Well,
but yeah,
I'm not expecting him to leave or anything, but that's not something you want to go into the season.
No, you don't.
Yeah. So that's something to look out for. Brian Elliott, one of the best goalies in the NHL statistically over the last 4 or 5 years. The only thing that I can say about Brian Elliott is if you look back at his history, obviously with the Blues, he wasn't playing 50, 60 games because he had Jake Allen. You didn't need to. But if you look back, the last time he played what I would say are starters games, 55 games he played with the Ottawa Senators in 2009-10, 909 save percentage. Like, these are average, below average numbers when he's playing this many games. Now, that was kind of ancient history. We're looking 5 years ago or more. But he is also older too. So in a way he's proven it with the Blues, but in another way he hasn't really proven it as the go-to number one starter yet. So there are questions. It's not an automatic, oh, they got Brian Elliott, they got their number one goalie, they're going to be amazing now. They got a goalie who is likely to be very good for them and likely to give them that push they needed and that support, and it will be better than last year, I have to imagine, but there's still a question out there.
Chad Johnson's had his moments too, actually. He is a guy who I think you feel like, I mean, when you rank the backup goalies and talk about fellas you wouldn't mind having for 25 games, I think Chad Johnson could be one of those guys too. So maybe that will take a little bit of the pressure off Elliott. Johnny Gaudreau is on Andrew Berkshire's
number six, I believe.
List. So we'll talk to Andrew about him.
And two of their defense are on the defense rankings too.
We kind of blew right by that. But yeah, that D is, I mean, Nashville and Calgary, I think, are the two places you look at. I mean, Giordano's been hurt, but boy, he's a great player. And TJ Brody probably falls into that underrated.
And you know what? I got to say, you touched on Nashville there. Both great defenses, both probably great goalies with some questions around them. One of them is a Stanley Cup contender. Calgary isn't there yet, but you look at the young talent they have that's coming up, and you're talking about Bennett should have a better year. Monahan looks like he's a star. So they're not far off, I don't think, if they keep going here, that they could be in a similar situation. As long as you have a good goalie and a defense like Calgary has, you're on the right track. Yeah. You're okay. Build from the net out, right?
Yeah, I was gonna bring it around to Monahan. Because I know we're going to focus on Gaudreau a little later, but yeah, I mean, three NHL seasons and just, 62 points 2 years ago, 63 last year, 6'3". Just got number one center written all over him. And you're right. You start doing the math in Calgary and you see the pillars are in place. And based on that, let's zoom out a bit. We both agree Winnipeg has the brightest short-term prospects or has the best potential to be good now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think long-term? Does it have to be Edmonton because of the McDavid factor out of those three teams? Because I don't think either of us believe Vancouver is on the precipice of greatness. But
no.
You can make a case for Edmonton, Calgary, and Winnipeg. Which of those teams do you think 3 years from now is in the cup final and has a chance to win it?
It's extremely hard to pick against Edmonton here, but I do like Calgary a lot. And this kind of goes for this season as well. Even though I'm picking Winnipeg as my team, I think the Central Division is the harder, deeper division to battle out of here, right? So Calgary,
that's a division of death.
Yeah, so Calgary and Edmonton also have an advantage there where you have some really good teams, but I could see Anaheim over the next couple of years as a team that kind of falls off. Like Ryan Kessler isn't what he used to be. I love Ryan Getzlaff. I don't think he's going anywhere, but there are reasons to think that that team might fade. There are reasons to think the Los Angeles Kings might start fading in the next. I don't think they're fading this year. Don't get me wrong, but that they might start fading.
Yeah. Western Canada Revolution.
Sure.
I mean, all three of those teams are teams that you could say in the spring of 2018 and beyond, if you saw them in the West final, you'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And because Calgary has the defense and the goalie for now, I'm picking them. I have to lean that way because those are the most important things to me. You need to have the defense and the goaltending. Yeah.
Fair enough. All still important, boys and girls, in this day of fancy geeks and stuff. Coming up next on Tape to Tape, we are going to focus in on some of those Western Canadian players and a couple other guys that we know you want to know about. We're going to talk to Andrew Berkshire. You should check him out on Twitter. Do some quick 30-second homework at Andrew Berkshire. Yeah, Andrew's going to tell us all about how he ranked the top 20 by position. That is coming up next on Tape to Tape.
I feel depressed, I feel so bad. Cause you're the best girl that I've ever had. I can't get your love, I can't get affection. Oh, little girl, psychotic reaction. And I feel like this.
Welcome back to Tape to Tape. Joining us on the line now from Sport Logique and also a contributor to Sportsnet.ca, it's Andrew Berkshire. Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
We are all right, and we'd like to point out that your latest contribution to Sportsnet.ca is a top 20 positional ranking based on a number of analytics.
Really well done. Yeah, good way to attack it.
This is probably the point where I just turn it over to you and let you tell us what the methodology was.
Well, basically what I wanted to do is include every facet of the game that I could, and that's something that Sport Logic allows you to do a little bit more than some of the older hockey stats. So I split the game up into three sections for every position, offense, defense, and transition, just moving the puck up the ice. And then I filled each of those buckets with statistics that described what you were doing in those things. So, you know, defense is play without the puck, and transition is getting the puck out of your zone. And offense is obviously the easiest one. And then once you choose the statistics, it's about figuring out which ones are more important. And that was more, you know, where my opinion came in. So it's things that I was looking at that I thought, you know, when you're watching games, what drives success? So I was looking at, for defense, you can look at, you know, how many shots a guy's on for, prorated for their ice time. But I looked more heavily at things like if there's a loose puck or a puck battle, is that player winning that puck battle? Is he getting out of there with the loose puck? If a player is attacking them and they stick check, are they getting the puck away? When you body check a guy, are you getting the puck or is the puck already gone? So it's stats like that give you a better idea of how much impact a player is having either defensively or all over the ice.
Before we get into the Western Canadian teams and players, I just wanted to ask you what some of the biggest surprises were, without getting into defense and goaltending, which, by the way, come out on sportsnet.ca Thursday and Friday. We have center, left wing, and right wing up. Like, to me, the big one, and I think I emailed you about this, was Mark Stone. Not that necessarily that he's ranked number 8 among right wingers, but that his defensive game is right up there with, like, in Patrice Bergeron territory.
Yeah, and obviously there's different standards for center and winger. So, like, Mark Stone is the highest-ranked defensive winger, but the highest-ranked defensive winger isn't nearly as involved overall in defense as, like, the top 5 or 6 centers.
Right.
But he is, as a winger, he is like the Patrice Bergeron of wingers. He is so far ahead of everyone else in terms of taking the puck away from opponents and getting on loose pucks and turning them into offensive plays. It's just ridiculous. And I remember reading an interview with Mark Stone, I think a couple years ago, during his rookie year, where he was talking about he likes to do something in the neutral zone where he'll line up a guy for a hit, but as soon as the player flinches, he goes for the puck and completely bails on the hit. So his hit numbers are minuscule, but he's constantly lining guys up at speed so that they flinch, and then he just takes the puck. And I find that, like, that kind of intelligence, to be able to do that at the NHL level, and obviously he leads the league in takeaways, I believe, the last 2 years, that says a lot about that player.
All right, so let's go on to the Western Canadian teams. And to me, there are two that look to me like they could make a charge towards the playoffs. My favorite one coming in are the Winnipeg Jets. And you have Mark Scheifele ranked number 13 among all centers. Really had a excellent finish to the season last year when Little went down, and he was kind of used as that number one center, and it looks like he's ready to take a big step in his game. Without giving anything away about the defense rankings, Dustin Byfuglien is on there. Do you see this team making it to the playoffs this year? What do you like about them or not like about them?
The only thing that I don't like about the Jets is they continue to rely on Pavlich in goal. And I think that's their big weakness, right? Is that for some reason they really have a lot of faith in him. And I think I heard somebody talking about this recently, that a lot of it might have to do with when Hutchison actually won the job a couple years ago, and then he kind of fell off a little bit, Pavlich came back in and went on this huge shutout streak and propelled them into the playoffs. And it seems like they overvalued that little hot streak from Pavlich and just continued to give them the reins. But they've got two really decent to very good goaltenders there in Hutchison and Hellebuck, who's, you know, one of the better goaltending prospects in the NHL. If they run with those guys, I think they're easily a playoff team. Scheifele is right up there. I think he's, you know, one of the breakout players to watch this year. He had good numbers last year, but because he missed some time with injury, they don't look as gaudy as he actually was in terms of, like, per minute rankings. And Blake Wheeler as well is one of the top right wingers in the league. And for some reason, this guy's been putting up like 70 points every year for like 5 years. And nobody really talks about him. He's like 6'6", not necessarily hugely physical, but when he wants the puck, he's going to get it. He can outreach you, and he's incredibly fast and just a great all-around hockey player. But nobody ever talks about him. And maybe it's because the Jets are in Winnipeg and, you know, Canadian teams get a bit more coverage up here, but maybe not in the States, so he doesn't get the recognition.
I wonder how much Pavlik's usage has to do with the fact they paid him all this money to bring him in. And I wonder, this year, he's on the last year of that contract, making $3.9 million. Maybe he, as a lame duck goalie, they don't have to worry about him so much. They can use the other two goalies that you're talking about.
Yeah, it definitely could be. And, you know, with the last year of a deal, it could be that they could find a way to unload him onto another team that has cap space near the end of the year. It may be a situation where, you know, Pavlich gets, like, split starts with whoever they bring, decide is their second goalie, and then halfway through the year, they decide to go with the two youngsters.
Hellebuck, this year's Matt Murray. Johnny Gaudreau, obviously high on the left wing rankings. Tell us a little bit about why he scored well and what you expect from Calgary, which is in a bit of a unique situation because new coach and a new goalie, and it seems like they've addressed some of, or I guess their major weaknesses from last year. What do you make of Gaudreau and the Flames?
Gaudreau is, he's kind of one-dimensional. Like, he's not very good defensively, but I think that's almost by design. He doesn't really, like, he obviously doesn't have the reach. He's a smaller player. He doesn't have the physicality, so it's tough for him to win battles and stuff like that. But as long as he's playing somebody who can, as soon as he gets the puck, you know, his skating and stick handling are just completely out of this world. So he's a fantastic transition player. Very few players, you know, carry the puck as well as he does. He's fast. You can't really hit him, you know? Like, I think that's the best thing about him is it's a lot like Patrick Kane when he was a lot younger. His teams thought that they could line him up and just, you know, scare him off by hitting him, but you can't. You can never catch him with his head down. He's just too quick with his hands and his feet. He's incredible that way. And his offensive skill is just ridiculous. He's a hyper-elite-level passer, but he also finds ways to sneak in between traffic. And if there's a loose puck somewhere near the net, you can bet that he's going to be on that, and it's going to find a way into the back of the net. He just finds ways to sneak in between bodies and almost like snakes in and finds a way to get shots in from the inner slot. He's incredible at it.
I want to preface this next question by saying I don't think the Vancouver Canucks are a playoff team or that they're going to make a charge for the playoffs or anything, but I do think they have a chance of being better than you think. Like, I would think many people expect them to be at the bottom of the West or very close to it, but you have the Sedins there still, and they rank very highly on your positional rankings as well, and Ryan Miller is on the goalie list. We've got some good reviews of Ben Hutton and Eric Gudbrandsson so far. What do you make of this team? I mean, that first line with the Sedins and Eriksson could be really, really good, and sure, they need some things to fall right for them in the forward units after that, but what do you make of the Canucks?
I think the Canucks are kind of like a glass cannon in a lot of ways. Like, they have some offense there, especially the first line. They should be great on the power play, although, you know, a lot of it depends on how well Ben Hutton does there. And I think they have a young prospect who's been really good in preseason on defense as well. So that could be a big difference maker for them. But, you know, they don't have a prototypical top-end defenseman anymore. You know, like Dan Hamhuis was that for a bit. Alex Edler is good, but he's not a first, like, he's not your franchise defenseman.
Right? Do you like Tanev?
Tanev's good, but again, fairly one-dimensional, right? He's mm-hmm. fantastic on the defensive side, but you're not going to rely on him to move the puck up the ice or to get power play time or create offense. So he's a good, I would say, a number two, mm-hmm. but they need a guy who can be with Tanev, who can create those offensive opportunities, and they don't really have that. The Sedins are fantastic, but, you know, I think the Canucks will be one of those teams where they'll create a lot of offense on good nights, but they're always going to be really porous defensively. And Ryan Miller is, you know, at the, not the end of his career, but it's winding down, and it's harder for him to stem that flow.
The last Western Canadian team we'll talk about often has the word
literally
last associated with it. Oh, the Edmonton Oilers. Certainly long-term, there are brighter days ahead. It's hard to believe, even if they didn't change the management structure with Connor McDavid, it was still going to happen, you would think. But what do you see in the immediate future for the Oilers? I mean, they did have a lot of injuries last year, including McDavid. Eberle missed his customary 10-plus games, and same with Nugent Hopkins, only playing 55. Even Benoit Pouliot, analytics darling, out for almost 30 games. But I mean, the big offseason trade that was derided largely in Albertan circles, I think, Adam Larson coming in for Taylor Hall. When you throw it all together, what do you see in Edmonton and which guys stood out and made your rankings?
Obviously, Connor McDavid would have if he had played the requisite amount of time. I think I said it at 2,000 even strength minutes, which you can't get in one season anyway, so all the rookies last year didn't make it. But I went and did the rankings for McDavid anyway, just out of curiosity, and as an 18-year-old, he would have been the sixth best center in the NHL, which, like, a lot of people are like, oh, McDavid's already the best player in the world, but to be 18 years old and to be ranking up with, like, Joe Thornton and Ryan Getzlaff and John Tavares, that's, like, insane, super incredible, especially considering, you know, I counted defense as a fairly large number for centers. And that's a tough thing to be good at as a teenager. He's just, you know, otherworldly. This year, McDavid, I think, is going to be the most exciting thing to watch in the NHL by far. I like the Milan Lucic deal, although he's not as good as Taylor Hall. And I don't like the Taylor Hall trade at all. I think it's mildly justifiable in terms of, like, just the philosophy of it, that they needed the defense. But the overpayment is by a factor of, like, three or four. Adam Larson's okay, but he's a second-pairing defenseman. He's not a top-end guy. And Taylor Hall, I believe, ranks fifth among all left wings in the league. So that's a big overpay and a big loss. But, you know, Lucic mitigates that a little bit. Jordan Eberle is a really good player. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins looked healthy at the World Cup, so that's a huge deal, having a legit, you know, borderline first-line center as your second-line center behind Connor McDavid. That's huge. Leon Draisaitl is a guy I'm a huge fan of. I think that he has the potential for to be a 40-goal scorer. And Jesse Puljujärvi, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him, but if he's as good as people think he is, you know, the Oilers are going to have some really good forwards, even without Taylor Hall.
And how about Cam Talbot? I mean, again, without giving it away, he's on that list, and he ranks higher than I expected him to, probably because his difficulty rating in that category was pretty high. But, I mean, smaller sample size than most of the guys on that list. But, I mean, do you think they have a chance to make the playoffs this year, and is he good enough to get them there?
They have a better chance than they've had over the last 7 or so years, I would say. Since they went to the Stanley Cup final in 2006, they had a couple years where they had a good shot at the playoffs and didn't make it. But this year, they definitely have the best chance they've had in a long time. And like you said, Cam Talbot is a huge part of that. The sample size issue is definitely something to pay attention to, because with goalies, it's really hard to know until we get like 4 or 5 years into their career. But so far, Cam Talbot has been really incredible. And, you know, it was well documented that he struggled early on in Edmonton. He lost the job a little bit. But by the end of the year, he was actually above league average in save percentage on a team with maybe two NHL-level defensemen. And, you know, everybody can watch Edmonton and see how bad they are at stopping, you know, like pre-shot movement, cross, grease passes, stuff like that. To be above league average in that situation is pretty darn incredible. So Cam Talbot could be a huge difference maker.
Well, Talbot and a lot of Oilers fans deserve something a little better this year. We will see
if
they get it. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
That is Andrew Berkshire. Check out his work at SportLogic and at sportsnet.ca, where you can continue to read.
I just want to say those rankings, we have the three forwards up already. And again, the defense rankings come out on sportsnet.ca on Thursday, and the goalies top 20 on Friday.
Well worth your time. Rankings. Come on, people. We know you're all in on rankings. Stuff you can argue over. It's great. All right, people, thanks for tuning in to Tape to Tape. This is the first, unofficially, I would say, of three NHL preview podcasts. We've done this one focusing on the Western Canadian teams. We're going to focus on the East, the Leafs, the Sens, and the Montreal Canadiens. And then we'll do a league-wide one before things get going for real next week.
Predictions.
So prediction time again. Another thing everyone loves. That's all we give you here on Tape to Tape. So tune in next time for more Glass Rattlin' hockey action on Tape to Tape.
Said we're here for a good time. Not a long time.
Not a long time.
So have a good time. The sun can shine every day.
And the sun is shining in this rain city. And the sun is shining. Ooh, isn't it a pity?
Tape to Tape, the hockey podcast by Sportsnet.